I'm sure you'll know that 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is the great resurrection chapter in the Bible. And as Paul the Apostle takes up the pen, begins to write about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus in that passage, he wants to focus minds on a key thought. And that is how essential it is that Jesus has risen from the dead. And he begins an argument and he says, you know, if the resurrection didn't take place, and if our Lord Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead, do you know what the consequences would be? Preaching, he said, would be a waste of time. In verse 14, and if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain. Not only would preaching be a waste of time if Jesus didn't rise again out of the grave, but faith is without foundation. He goes on to say in verse 14 of 1 Corinthians 15, your faith is also vain. Preaching is a waste of time. Faith is without foundation. Also, sins are still unforgiven. Because he goes on to say in verse 17, and if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Not only that, are we in our sins without a foundation for our faith, listening to preaching that really is only full of lies and full of heresies if Jesus is not risen from the dead? Another thing, loved ones who have died in Christ are still without hope. They have wasted their lives in looking for a hope that never did materialize. In verse 16 through to 19 in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul argues that. So what he's saying is, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then there are severe, huge consequences. But that's his resurrection. What about his birth? What would it actually mean if Jesus had never been born? Scanning over the celebrations that are around this season, the politically correct mob have done a good job again, we must say that, in trying to minimize the role that Jesus plays at this time of year. You could take the most popular Christmas songs, and probably none of the top 5, maybe even 10, would be a recognizable Christmas carol, would have anything to do with the name of the Lord Jesus. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas and all of that would be right up there at the top of the list, but no mention of Christ. And they have done a thorough task in pushing him, shunting him over into a siding at this time that should be the celebration of his birth. Now, if Christ had not been born, if he was erased from Christmas, then we are left with a Bible that is unreliable. We're left with a Bible that is unreliable. Why do I say that? Well, in our passage tonight, in the book of Matthew, the chapter 1, Matthew here is telling us what is happening, this event, that event, the other event, and then he ties it way back in to the Old Testament, and he's saying, this has just happened because hundreds of years ago it was predicted by the Old Testament prophets this would happen, and that would happen, and the other thing would happen. Hundreds of years ago. And so what you're seeing today in the birth of Jesus, the manner in which he was conceived, the way he was brought into the world, the place that he was born in, all of these events, they were prophesied away back in Old Testament times. Verse 22 of Matthew chapter 1 reads, now all this was done. Why? That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Three prophecies there in verse 23 brought together, and Matthew was saying, this is why you're seeing what you're seeing. It's all the fulfillment of prophecy. That it was done, that it might be fulfilled, that was spoken by the prophets. Now, if you take the word of scholars for it, they will tell you there were over 300, in fact some will say 365, one for each day of the year, 365 Old Testament prophecies about Jesus coming into the world and what he would do once he did come into the world. You can trace no less than 9 of those prophecies in Matthew chapter 1, this one chapter, for example. In fact, we'll go through them very, very quickly. He was to be the seed of a woman that we're told about, that is a virgin birth. We're told about a way back in Genesis 3, the verse 15. We see it fulfilled in Matthew 1, 18 to 20. Then again, in the list of 365 prophecies, coming in at number 55 on that list is the word in 1 Chronicles chapter 17, the verse 11, the coming Messiah would be of the seed, the line of David. Do we see that? Well, you'll check that out in Matthew 1 and 1, and you'll find Jesus came down the line of David. On the list of 365 prophecies in the Old Testament fulfilled by Jesus, number 165 brings us to Isaiah 7 to verse 14. That is, he was to be named Emmanuel, God with us. Where do we find that fulfilled? In Matthew 1 and the verse 23. That's 3 prophecies fulfilled here in Matthew. But you've also got 186 on the list is Isaiah 12 and 2. He would be called Jesus, Yeshua, meaning salvation. And what do we read in Matthew 1 and 21? Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. 196 out of the list of 365 is Isaiah 35 and 4. He will come and save you. And again, Matthew 1 and 21, he shall save. 214 on the list of 365 prophecies is bringing us to Isaiah chapter 49, verse 1. And we're told there, he will be called from the womb. It was a pointer to his humanity, and we have that underlined in Matthew 1 and verse 18. Prophecy number 7, fulfilled in Matthew chapter 1, is what 275 in the list brings us in the Old Testament as far as Isaiah 59, verses 15 and 16. We're told there he will come to provide salvation, and we find it again in Matthew 1 and 21. 295 on this extensive list of the prophecies Messiah was going to fulfill is Jeremiah 31:22, born of a virgin, and you find it in the passage we've read, Matthew 1:18-20, number 300, this is the 9th prophecy fulfilled in Matthew chapter 1, number 300 on the list of 365 would bring us in the Old Testament as far as the book of Ezekiel, the chapter 34, verses 23 and 24. Again, he would be a descendant of David, and Matthew 1 and 1, that's exactly what is fulfilled there. The prophet said it. Real-time events recorded in Matthew chapter 1 show how Jesus the Lord fulfilled it. So if he was to be pushed out of Christmas, then we are left with a Bible that is unreliable. If Christ is taken out, none of these prophecies are fulfilled. And the prophets are ranting and raving right their way through the Old Testament, not a word of truth in it, not fulfilled. If Jesus is taken out of Christmas, the Bible would be unreliable. Another consequence, if Jesus should be taken out of Christmas, is this: we are left with a gospel that is unpreachable. A gospel that is unpreachable. You'll know the message that came through at the birth of the Lord Jesus. The angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." And they go on to say, "Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." The message that they brought at the birth of Christ was, "We've got good news for you." Good news, that's gospel. The gospel is good news. It's the evangel. Our evangelistic effort as we go out to the neighborhood is to take Christ to them. The message of the good news, the good tidings of great joy to all people. But if we take Christ out and remove him out of the whole picture of Christmas, we have no more good news to preach to people. We have a gospel that basically is unpreachable. Now, you'll find that Paul, over in 1 Corinthians 15, already referred to, defines what the gospel is. He says it's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But you see how vital the birth is in all of this? If he wasn't born, he couldn't die. He had to be born. He had to come to Bethlehem before he could die and then be buried and then be raised again. Without the cradle at Bethlehem, there could be no cross erected at Calvary and no empty tomb in the garden. So if Christ were to be removed from Christmas, the gospel falls flat. It would be unpreachable. But thank God tonight as we meet here, we can hear the pronouncement of those angels around those Judean hills, a declaration we catch of the glorious gospel of the blessed God, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And also unto you was born this day in the city of David a Savior. Angels proclaimed it. And so with the greatest of assurance, we can say tonight, there is a Savior who can and will forgive your sins. But without Christ, taken out of Christmas, we are left with a Bible that is unreliable, a gospel that is unpreachable, and a world that is unredeemable. A world that is unredeemable. How do I explain that? Well, the Bible says in Matthew 1:23, behold, a virgin shall be with child. That's what the prophet had said 700 years before. Isaiah 7:14, a virgin shall be with child. I know the liberals all around on every side rise up and decry this and deny this. And for example, Harry Emerson Fosdick has said, I want to assure you that I do not believe in the virgin birth. As if that was a badge of honor. It's one of shame and dishonor. Nels Ferre suggested that Jesus was the child of a German soldier, not virgin born. The liberals tell us this, however. The virgin birth was more than just a cute, pretty, even unique way to be born. The virgin birth was an absolute necessity. Jesus came to be our substitute. He was our sinless substitute. He came to die in our place on Calvary's cross, taking our sins upon himself, bearing the debt and the penalty of all of your and my iniquity. And in order to be our substitute, dying in our place without guilt, he had to be sinless. He had to be born of a virgin. One guilty person can't take the place of another guilty person. One murderer can't stand in the gap and take the place of some other murderer. One thief can't pay the penalty for some other thief. They're both guilty and they both have to pay the price for their own individual sin. In order for Jesus Christ to be without sin and guilt, he was born of a virgin. If he had been born of man, had an earthly father, he would have inherited a sinful nature. But being born of a virgin, he did not inherit a sinful nature. Therefore, he was sinless and qualified to be a substitute for those who were guilty. And because Christ was born of a virgin, he can be and is a redeemer. These events in Matthew 1 tell me, first of all, my Bible is reliable. tell me the gospel is preachable. And hallelujah, the glad tidings of great joy, the world is redeemable.